Welcome to the You've Got to Read This podcast. In these recordings, we'll discuss books that we really think you're really going to want to check out. This is a podcast of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library Digital Branch. In this episode, we're going to talk about some recent reads. I'm Cameron Smith, adult librarian at University City Regional Library, and I'll be discussing Read My Pens by Madeline Albright.
My name is Christy Madron, and I'm a librarian at Morrison Regional Library, and I'll be discussing a book called The Selected Works of T.S. Spivet by Reef Larson.
I'm Kate Hill. I'm a senior library assistant at University City Regional, and I will be discussing Saga by Brian K. Vaughan.
You can find all of these books on the catalog at cmlibrary.org, and we'll be happy to help you if you can't find them. Just give us a call. All right, the first book I'm going to talk about today is The Selected Works of T.S. Spivet, a novel by Reef Larson. Now, this book is unique in style. It is quite a large book for fiction. That's because it includes many figures and drawings and maps inside the book. The book is about a 12-year-old boy who is extraordinarily gifted in as far as drawing and illustrations and maps. And he has been secretly, with the assistance of a local professor that works at a university out in Wyoming, been sending his illustrations and drawings to a number of scientific journals. And he has just won a giant award. The award is the Baird Award by the Smithsonian. And Do Illustrations has awarded him to come, and it's gonna give him quite a bit of money. They don't know he's 12.
That'll be a surprise.
Yeah, that's a big surprise. And he doesn't tell his parents that he's been doing any of this. His parents are very involved in their own lives, so that's why he has a lot of time on his own. His mother is a scientist, and she's researching beetles, and she's doing a lot of research on the beetles. And part of that is the pine beetles out west in Colorado and Wyoming are destroying lots of forests. And so that's her scientific study. She's working on these beetles, and so she's very involved with that science stuff. His father is a rancher on the ranch that they're living in out in Wyoming. And so he's out with the cattle and repairing fences and doing a lot of very physical, masculine, manly things. And he sees T.S. as a little bit weak and not really able to do the work that he needs done. So T.S. is left at home with long stretches of time where he's on his own. This is kind of how he gets away with all of this. He gets notification that he's won the Baird Award, and so he packs a bag and he steals his mother's research that she's been working on all this time as reading material to take with him, and he hops on a train. He's heard so much great, he's read many great things about riding the rails through America, and he doesn't have a way to get to the Smithsonian otherwise, so he decides he's just gonna hop on a train secretly, you know, just jump on a freight train and ride the rails to DC on his own.
That's either very brave or very stupid, and maybe a bit of both.
It is both. I would definitely say both. This is an adult book. It is not a young adult book or a children's book, partially because T.S., the character, is very precocious, as you might expect, having won a Baird Award at 12. And part of the neat thing about the books is he does all these illustrations and maps, and all along in the margins and along the beginnings of chapters and almost every single page you go through, there are illustrations and drawings. One of them is a map of the frequency of his father's whiskey drinking at night, how often he takes a sip at different times. He maps the bats' flights around the light in the corral at night as they're catching bugs.
It sounds like he sees the world a little bit differently.
He really does. And in some ways, I would say that T.S. might even be considered to be possibly autistic or a savant in some ways, because he still sees with a child's eyes. He doesn't understand part of the reasons that his family is broken right now. He just sees himself as not good enough to fill the hole. And so there's a lot that you discover. The research that he stole from his mother is not what T.S. is expecting at all. And so there's another whole, almost a historical novel happening within as he reads what his mother has written, because it turns out she wasn't doing scientific research after all.
Oh boy.
Maybe a little bit, but mostly she was writing a historical book about the people and how they moved west and his family. It's very interesting. So it's a very good look at different layers of family and history and tragedy and how this family tries, you know, it's broken. And of course, his parents really care that he's gone, even though he doesn't think they will.
Oh, precious baby.
Yeah. And he does get into some misadventures, as you might expect.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a great read.
I definitely, definitely recommend
it. I'll be adding that to my list.
Yay, good!
So as I mentioned, I'm going to talk about Saga by Brian K. Vaughan. Anyone who knows me knows that I am obsessed with this series, just in general. But the 9th volume recently came out, so I think with them taking a break now that they've just put out that last volume, that now is the perfect time for you to catch up if you haven't read it yet. It's a graphic novel series, but it is an adult graphic novel series. I put this warning to you. It is a graphic novel, and I mean that in all the ways. All the ways. All of them.
So, adult content.
Adult content. Do not give this to your child. Don't read this while your child is around. No. It really is. It tackles a lot of stuff, and they do like a little bit of shock value here and there with the artistry, but at its heart, Saga is the story of a family in a lot of trouble. A prisoner of war falls in love with his guard and she with him. And the beginning of the story is that they're now on the run. She is pregnant and about to have a baby. And again, we're talking about a sci-fi saga. So these are technically aliens. They're of two different alien races that have been at war for centuries, and this baby is a symbol of a possible peace, and nobody wants that. And I mean nobody. So they have every corner of every galaxy after them. But it's also about found family and the help that you find along the way. It's very emotional. The family has ups and downs like any other family, but theirs are a little more intense than I think my life has been anyway.
They're on the run.
So in a lot of ways, it's still a sci-fi adventure, but it's very diverse. It's very emotional. And there's a lot of real world, real life experiences that are reflected in the pages, even though it seems like maybe it wouldn't be because of how fantastical it is with science and magic and universes beyond what we have experienced necessarily. But it is a saga. It lives up to its name. It's epic.
So how would you describe the art style, since it's a graphic novel?
It's, again, these are aliens, but they're mostly realistic. It's not like a computer generated, though it has a like an art feel to it. But there's a lot of bold colors and lines, a lot of flashing kind of color, a lot of details. It's really interesting because you've got like the story happening, but there's also kind of a narrator over top, and that is the little girl who's born at the beginning of the saga. She's kind of telling you this story. So there's a lot of layers to it, and when she's talking to you, it's a different font than the characters interacting on the page. But it's visually very striking.
What read-alikes would you recommend that are not graphic novel format?
Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay.
I actually did recently have a customer come to me and say, I need to thank whoever recommended this to me because it has gotten me through the Game of Thrones break. Wow. So, it is. It's intense. It's definitely, like I said, it's a saga. It's an epic saga. If you're looking for another graphic novel, though, you might also be interested in Wicked and Divine.
Oh, I read that.
They're similar in that shocking, strange, vibrant art kind of way. Hmm.
Okay, and the book that I chose for this segment is Read My Pins by Madeleine Albright. And Madeleine Albright is a former Secretary of State, but also former ambassador. She describes in this book how the pins that she wore to different important interactions with world leaders and different meetings, how those really projected her mood and how she was feeling about the connection she had with a certain diplomat. And this was actually when she was Secretary of State, so not as an ambassador, but the impact she describes of how those pins kind of relate to her personal and diplomatic expression is really interesting. And she actually came to Charlotte to speak about this book, and she described again those pins, how they really kind of showed her opinion and her mood, so to speak.
That reminds me a little bit of Ruth Bader Ginsburg when she has her dissent collar and her majority collar that she wears. Have you heard that?
I have not.
Yeah, so Miss Ginsburg, she wears special collars depending on the decision that was made in Supreme Court. When they're in private discussion and they come out and they start saying who won an argument. And if she disagrees, you're going to see a certain collar on her. And if she is in the majority opinion, then she wears a different collar.
Wow, very interesting.
Well, I think it's a really interesting topic because I think women are often told they're not supposed to have opinions or express themselves. Like, there's a very strict dress code, there's a very strict life code, and to find a way to press that issue and still have a voice is really interesting, and that's the way that she did it.
Yeah, it's a very silent form of expression, but also reveals her. It's a way of expressing herself that's silent, but it's not really silent either, because it's making a point in some way, based on the color or based on the style, based on the intricacy of the jewels that are in the pin, or what the pin represents to her as far as its meaning.
So, like, I love that.
That's great.
I kind of want to adopt that now.
Like, watch out. She's wearing sapphires today. Oh, we're all in trouble.
So a couple examples are when she would wear butterflies, balloons, or flowers. That would signify optimism. And when some diplomatic talks were going slowly, she wore crabs and turtles, which indicated her frustration. And there were a few specific times when it really came across what her mood was. For example, after the Russians were caught tapping the State Department, she protested by wearing a pin with a giant bug on it. And on days
nice.
When she felt she had to do a little stinging, deliver a tough message in her words, she wore a wasp pin. And then at one point, Russian leader Vladimir Putin told President Clinton that he knew what the mood of a meeting would be by looking at Albright's left shoulder. And in particular, she wore a pin with three monkeys, which she wore when discussing Chechnya, which was meant to draw attention to the fact that Russia took a hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil stance toward the Chechen atrocities. So those were just a few examples.
Oh yeah, I love that. I think that's fantastic. I don't think I would have known about that.
Yeah, I think that's really, really great. And it does speak to the secret languages that of even of diplomacy, but I know that women have had a huge history of secretly speaking things to others in the room without actually saying words, because our words were so often not wanted.
Were talked over.
Yeah, or they were talked over. But like the language of flowers, the language of fans. So now we have the language of pins.
That's right.
Fantastic.
No, I love that. That's really fun. Thank you for bringing that to the table today.
So you can find all of these books at cmlibrary.org, and you can access our catalog by clicking that green square that says catalog, and you can search for all of these books. I've talked about selected works of T.S. Spivet by Reef Larson.
I spoke about Saga by Brian K. Vaughan.
And I spoke about Read My Pen, Stories from a Diplomat's Jewel Box by Madeline Albright.
So thank you again for joining us for You've Got to Read This. We hope you've enjoyed the discussion and you have new book ideas. Look for upcoming episodes of You've Got to Read This at digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. Be sure to also like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter for more news and photos from Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. Check us out.